Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your presence. Lord, we are starting to understand more and more why Moses would not leave without your presence. Lord, we are starting to appreciate even more why Christ came and told us that there is a promise of your Spirit, the promise of your presence. Lord, we thank you for this new covenant that we are brought into, where your Spirit now lives in us. But also when we come together, Lord, your Spirit is here with us. And Lord, we have experienced you by your Spirit already this morning. And Lord, we're thankful. Lord, we don't take your presence for granted. Lord, we're thankful. Lord, we're thankful for the ways in which you have touched us. Lord, we're thankful for the ways in which you have been breaking off things off our lives, things that hold us back, that make us get tired. Lord, we thank you for energizing us, even emotionally and physically, as well as spiritually. And Lord, we ask you to continue that work by your Spirit, Lord. As your word comes forth, continue to build in us, continue to edify us, continue to show us Christ. Lord, let faith be found in us to receive your word with faith, so that your word will benefit us. Lord, grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, we pray. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. So several weeks ago, I started this series that I've called Present and Future Things. The first week we discussed the prophecies of Christ in Luke. He said in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nations gonna rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and pestilence, and all manner of things like that. Then the second part we talked about things from the perspective of Paul in Timothy chapter 3, where Paul says in the last days terrible times shall come, and we call that the terrible times are here. Terrible times shall come. People are going to be lovers of themselves. People are going to be boastful and arrogant and treacherous, brutal, hateful, without natural affection. They will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the very power of God to bring change, to bring healing, to bring transformation. Today, I want to look at it from a slightly different perspective, looking at some of the positive things that the Lord has promised this church. Now, before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about the sons of Issachar. So turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and I'm going to read verse 32 and then verse 38. David is in Hebron, and different people are coming to David to join up with David, and the people of Issachar were among them. And it says here in verse 32, men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. Then verse 38, all these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over all Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. I've shared about the sons of Issachar in the past, and I've always shared about it more from these men understanding negative things. Studied these men some more, I realized that they actually understood when things were changing spiritually and otherwise. that is a very positive light in which these men functioned. Going back to verse 32 there, it says, they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. That word there is yada, which most of you know means to know intimately, to know out of experience. So they not only understood the times, but they had knowledge as to how Israel should respond in this time. They sensed that something was changing, and they knew exactly what Israel should do. It's powerful, a powerful group of men. So I did some more research about them. The Jewish Targum, which is a paraphrase of some of the Old Testament scriptures, some interpretation of the Old Testament scriptures, say that the sons of Issachar were people who were able to ascertain periods of the sun and moon. So if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33, we'll read two verses there. About Zebulun, he said, this is verse 18 of chapter 33, about Zebulun, he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and you, Issachar, in your tents." This is Moses. "Rejoice, you sons of Issachar, in your tents." And then it says about the sons of Issachar, "You will summon peoples to the mountains, and there offer the sacrifices of the righteous. They will feast on the abundance of the seas, on the treasures hidden in the sand." So there's something about these sons of Issachar. They were able to discern when things were changing. They were able, historically, apparently they studied the stars, probably astronomers or something. Long before things were written down, they would know that, you know, if you're going to have a full moon, or it's going to affect the seas. They had knowledge from their studies, and they could advise people. But there was something here that Moses put on it. He put a spiritual spin on it. He says, these men, they will summon the people to the mountain and there offer sacrifices of the righteous. They'd call the people to worship. They would sense what was happening as a people of God. It's time to press in to worship the Lord. I don't know if you were looking at my notes. I'm going to go home and check and make sure there are no cameras there. Because I'm talking about times of refreshing, and she talked about that this morning, setting the stage for what we have been experiencing. They were able to sense what was happening and say to the people of God, it's time, we need to get out of here and go into the mountains and worship the Lord, press into the Lord. So as you can see, they weren't so much concerned about the negative as much as these are the positive things that you need to do, people of God. These are the times in which you live, and this is how you ought to respond in these times. It's time to press into the Lord. It's time to offer sacrifices to the Lord. In the case of David, they were able to sense that something was changing. Saul was king, and the people rejoiced when Saul became king. But they were able to sense things are changing. We need to align ourselves with what God is doing. And so they weren't there so much to criticize Saul as much as to say, this is what God is doing, people of God. We need to come and to anoint David, not just king for the southern kingdom, but for all of Israel, it says there in Chronicles. To make him king over all of Israel. These sons of Issachar. Now the other thing it says here in Deuteronomy, which has, I've read it for many times and I just glossed over it. It says, they will feast on the abundance of the seas, on the treasures hidden in the sand. And I'm like, what on earth is that? You can look at it spiritually and say they will help you to discover things in the Word of God and from the presence of God as you press in and understand things. So I'm sure it has that spiritual dimension to it. But I also believe that they understood the times. They knew when the wind was changing. And because of that, they were able to reap from the abundance of the seas. They knew when the low tide was coming in, so they were able to find the treasures hidden in the sand. Let me speak about that in simple terms. In troublesome times, in difficult times, all sort of stuff happens. But the sons of Issachar will be able to discern what the people of God need to do to get the treasures out of the sand, to prosper, to experience financial breakthrough. Let me give you an example. I know a family, I think it was 8 years ago, they bought a house in Kansas City. That house is worth 75% more than what they bought it for now, today. The values has gone up astronomically. The sons of Issachar would have understood that things were changing. And so now is the time to do this. I know another family, about 3 or 4 years ago, they bought a house and just sold it, made about $50,000. They didn't even know what they were doing, they just bought it. The sons of Issachar would have understood the times, that things are changing, and to get the riches out of the treasures out of the sand, this is how the people of God need to align themselves. What has happened many times is that we, the people of God, just like the unsaved, we tend to be reactive. After the things happen, that's when we say, oh, we should have done this, we should have done that. Because we don't have people who are sensitive to know what's happening. Lord, how do you want your people to align themselves so they can get the abundance from the seas and the treasures hidden in the sand? And I think that God is raising up a company of people who will be like that. That is not only that they'll get treasures from the word of God and from the presence of God, but also in the very natural realm, they'll be able to sense. This is what the people of God ought to be doing. I went to one church years ago when I was in New Jersey, and that church understood some stuff, and so they had some seminars during the week to help the people to understand economics and how to function. So they could end up, no matter what circumstance they were in, experience breakthroughs financially. Many times we, the people of God, we are just sort of ignorant and we're just being dragged along and we miss the opportunities because we're not really in tune to hear what God is saying and to know how to align ourselves so we can get the riches, the treasures that are hidden in the sand and the abundance that are there in the seas. So these men were like that. They, going a little bit earlier or a little bit further in time, in the time of Deborah the prophet, Judges chapter 5, this is what it says in Judges 5 and verse 15. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, sent under his command into the valley. Oh, the sons of Issachar, the princes, the leaders. Again, Israel was under domination from the Canaanites. And here was Deborah, the prophet. God raised her up. And God said to her, basically, go and tell Barak that, you know, he's to prepare for war. She goes to Barak and says, this is what you need to do. And Barak says, well, I'll go if you go with me. If you go ahead of me, then I'll go. And so she said to him, well, yeah, I'll go, but you will not get the credit for killing Caesarea, I think, who was the king of the Canaanites. But they were under domination for a while, for about 20 years, according to chapter 4 of Judges. And then the sons of Issachar realized that things were changing. They knew who to align themselves with. And said, listen, God has raised up Deborah the prophet or prophetess. And God has brought alongside Barak. Something's about to change and we need to align ourselves so we can walk in the victory that God has for us. So we can experience the breakthrough that God has for us. So they were really more or less people who, in times of distress, times of difficulties, knew the right step to take, knew where the change was coming, and to align themselves with the change. They weren't so reactive as much as they were proactive. They understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They aligned themselves with Barak and with Deborah. And because of that, they were able to walk in the victory that God had for them and for Israel. I want to read one verse from Judges chapter 5 and verse 20. From the heavens the stars fought. From their courses they fought against Caesarea. Verse 23 says, curse Miraz, says the angel of the Lord. Curse its people bitterly, because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. And then it goes down. And what happens here is that as these people align themselves with Deborah and with Barak, they actually encountered supernatural spiritual warfare. You see? And from heavens, God released his angels and were involved in supernatural spiritual warfare. But they wouldn't have known this if they didn't align themselves and sense what God was saying. And were able to walk in the victory that God has for them. So when we talk about then the sons of Issachar, you and I need to see ourselves as those who need to be so pressed into the Lord, we can sense, what is he saying? How are we to align ourselves in a time like this? What is a change that is coming by the wind of the Spirit? So we're not caught flat-footed. You know, they say that there are like three different types of people out there. The set that hear that things are happening. Another set that make things happen. And then the third set that says, what happened? And many times the church is like that. I didn't realize something was happening. I didn't realize God was doing something. But I believe God is trying to help us as we have heard these prophetic words this morning. To say it, he is about to do something and we need to align ourselves so we can be in the flow of the Spirit of God. Not on the side looking on and wondering, well, why did this miss me? He's preparing us for something. And he's saying, some change is on its way. Press in, change. Now this becomes interesting since I'm talking about times of refreshing. One of the things the Lord promised in the last days is that there will be times of refreshing. Acts chapter 3. And verse 17. This is Peter sharing and he says, he's talking about Christ. And he says, now brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, Acts 3:17, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Then his word to them is, repent then. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. And he says, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through the holy prophets. So Peter is here saying to these people, you need to repent. You need to realize that God has promised, and it's there in the plural, times of refreshing. That these times of refreshing will come, and the Lord is going to hold Christ back. Second coming that many are looking forward to is like, I'm going to hold Christ back. And in between that time, I will release times of refreshing. So if things get troublesome, if things get, you're on a decline morally, and you're seeing some of the signs at the end, but Christ has not come, then it seems to me the Lord is saying, you can anticipate then in the midst of this, times of refreshing. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. It's not time to get into the four walls and hold on and say, oh God, come and take us out of here. Now it's time to say, Lord, thank you for the times of refreshing which you have promised us. Thanks for the outpouring of your spirit which you have promised us. Thanks for the breakthrough which you said you would give us in these times as things get more troublesome, as things get more difficult. I don't know when he's coming back. That's one of the things we said the first message. Nobody knows the time, the day or the hour. But I do know he says that in these last days, we can expect times of refreshing. The first outpouring of the Spirit of God in these last days took place on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Verse 15 says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days. When is that? When is the last days? No. It started there on the day of Pentecost. And it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And it goes on. So the Lord declared then that he was going to, in the last days, pour out his spirit upon all flesh. In the last days. And so I believe that the Pentecost was the first outpouring, the first major time of refreshing that God released upon his people. As the church went through times of persecution and times of difficulties, the Spirit of God was there to keep them filled, to keep them going. When the apostles were beaten and flogged and told not to preach anymore in the name of Christ in Acts chapter 4, they went back to their own company and they prayed. And the Bible tells me there in Acts chapter 4 that the Spirit of God came upon them and they were filled again so much so that the place shook. As the apostle prayed, saying, give us boldness and Lord, extend your hand to do miracles. In the name of Jesus. And by the next chapter, the level of miracles increased so much so that people were trying to find the shadow of Peter so they could get healed. So what I'm saying to us, church, is that in these times of refreshing, as God will pour out his spirit, the miracles will take place, signs and wonders will take place. The prophetic realm, the revelatory realm will be opened up to his people so that they can see dreams, they can see visions and dream dreams. So it's not a time for us to get distracted and to get worried that, oh, look at what's happening. Suppose they send a nuclear bomb to the US. I perhaps need to get me a nuclear bomb shelter or something. Maybe some of you might need to, but most of us need to press into the Lord and say, Lord, you promised us times of refreshing, times where we would be so empowered by the Spirit of God, we'll have boldness to stand and to declare God's word and to say to people, in these troublesome times, there is a God who will stand with you, a God who will meet your need, a God who will break through with miracles. One of the blessings that Walmart has done for me, as I walk through the aisles, they help me to pray in tongues. As I see the price of stuff, I say, glory to God, hallelujah! God is coming through. And I believe God has promised us these times of refreshing. Oh, help us, Lord. For us to align ourselves with what God is doing. We need these outpourings of the Spirit of God. The Lord had said to his apostles in Acts chapter 1, saying, don't leave the city, don't leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You need something more. And so they waited until the day of Pentecost, 10 days later, when the Spirit of God was poured out upon them and they saw all manner of stuff, but they didn't sit back and relax. They pressed into the Lord. And so we want more. We need more. For those who are not aware, this outpouring and times of refreshing, this is different from salvation. You know, the Apostle Paul in Acts 19 came to Ephesus and he saw some believers there, and he asked them, had they received the Spirit of God since they believed? And they said, no. So Paul shared with them about Christ and then baptized them. And after that, then he laid hands on them and they received an outpouring of the Spirit of God into their lives, and they prophesied. A separate experience. And so you and I need to have continuous experience of God's refreshing on a personal level, but corporately we need these times of refreshing to be poured out upon His church. Times of difficulties, times when all sort of chaos is happening around us. We get weary, we get tired, we get distressed, we get distracted, and we need times of breakthrough to come from the Lord to refresh His people. And I believe that each time that there's a refreshing, that there's an increase in the level of the gifts of the Spirit, increase in the level of miracles that would take place. So these times of refreshing are, the baptism of the Holy Spirit I put here, just an initial experience, but we need these times of renewal and refreshing until the Lord returns. That's what Acts 3 said. Until He returns. And Peter said to the people then that you need to repent. In other words, many times these times are refreshing to walk into them calls for us to repent of some things, to break off some things of our lives. The scripture we like to quote, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then the refreshing will come, then the healing will come, then the breakthrough will come. So if we sense that this is a time for God to pour out His Spirit, then one of our responses need to be, Lord, help me to see where I need to change. Help me to see where I need to repent. Help me to see the cloak that I'm carrying over my shoulder. That's a heavy weight that I need to cut off me so I can be in a place to receive the refreshing. It doesn't make sense to be running around with this heavy cloak and expect to experience refreshing. You're going to get tired again because that heavy cloak is there. We need to cut it off. The prophetic word talked about holding on to stuff. But you can't walk free. You can't walk in the refreshing God has until you release the stuff. It's part of what God has promised us. And it will come, and others will experience it, and it will miss you because what? You didn't align yourself as the sons of Issachar would tell you to do. And then you ask yourself, well, what's wrong with me? Well, you're holding on to some things that God was saying, let go of. If we really believe the times of refreshing are coming and we can anticipate people being saved, then we need to get ourselves equipped to flow and to train others. And so if you step back, you'll realize that God is actually doing some things even across our nation. In a couple of weeks, they'll have the send in Kansas City. Thousands and thousands of young people coming together, believing that God has called them to be sent forth again to impact our nation. That's not something that is just, you know, a nice thing. I mean, it is something the Spirit of God is doing. And so if we can see that as sons of Issachar, then we're going to align ourselves. You know what? I need to be in a place that I can be used of God to impact people around me and to disciple those that God will impact and draw into the kingdom. Times of refreshing are times to seek the face of the Lord in prayer and fasting. In Joel chapter 2, from which the Apostle Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, Joel 2 verse 15 started out with an invitation. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the people who minister before the Lord, the priests who minister before the Lord, weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Things were not going as people were anticipating, and so the word was, now is the time to press in, to seek the Lord, for God to intervene. And it's out of that the Lord says, after this, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, as Joel 2 and verse 28 and 29. Joel 2 verse 23 says this, be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He has sent you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. And so there's a promise from the Lord to give the early rain and the latter rain, the spring rain and the autumn rain. And so the times are refreshing, are times when you can expect the rain of God to be poured out. For them, it might have been something physical, but for us, it's something spiritual. The pouring of God's Spirit into our lives to restore and to renew. Verse 24 says, the threshing floor will be filled with grain because the locusts had passed through and destroyed everything. That must be an exclamation point. The locusts had passed through and destroyed everything. And now God was promising that as you seek me in these last days, I will restore stuff, that the threshing floor will be filled with grain. But Lord, you understand, we're in the middle of inflation. And the Lord was like, so what? I've never been short of supply. I took care of 6 million people for 40 years. In a place where there was nothing. So I can take care of my people for a few years in a place where things are costly. So there's a promise that there will be more than enough. The experience of God's favor is as if vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Verse 25, I'll repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts and the other locusts and the locusts that swarm my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat, at verse 26. For whoever can receive that. You will have plenty to eat. It's part of what God has promised his people that are now pouring in these last days. He's going to repay us for the loss, the things that the enemy has devoured. He says, we can anticipate those things being restored. So you will have plenty to eat, verse 26, until you are full. Not just half full, until you're full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you'll know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there's no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. And afterward, I'll pour my spirit on all people. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. In other words, God is not just concerned only for us to move in the revelatory realm. He's concerned about every area of our lives. And he promised his people, saying, in the last days, I'll take care of my people. They will have more than enough. Whatever was taken from them, I'll restore. Restoration of whatever the enemy has taken from you and from me. Restoration, I believe, not just in terms of food, but in terms of health and strength. We can anticipate that as God restores people and touches them miraculously. The meeting of all of our needs. I'm going to ask Sean if you would come on back. And that all of that would be an overflow in terms of worship. An overflow in terms of the people of God pressing into the Lord. Talking about times of refreshing. When God restores what the canker worm and the palmer worm and all of these different creatures have destroyed. When the Lord said in Chronicles that he would heal the land because people have turned to him and sought his face. So we have the choice. We can focus on all the negatives that are there and get discouraged and distressed. And so, Lord, what's going to happen to this world? Or we can say, Lord, you have promised in your word that in the last days there will be times of refreshing. Times when your people can lean into you and experience more. Time when there will be an outpouring of your spirit, when the miraculous will be released. You can walk through Walmart and you can see the price of things going up and you can say, glory to God. I know there's a move of the Spirit on the way. You can listen to the negative things on the news and all the things that all different types of depraved people are doing and get depressed. Or you can say, Lord, I know that for some of these depraved people to be reached, there have to be a move of your Spirit. There have to be a breakthrough. And Lord, like a son of Issachar, I'm aligning myself with you. I'm putting myself in a place, oh God, to experience refreshing. To be used by you to touch some lives. Oh, mighty God, do we need a move of the Spirit in these days? You know, when the Spirit of God was poured out over 100 years ago at Azusa Street, in 1906, that move impacted the entire world, the entire globe. And still continues on to this day. We talk about an outpouring, friends, that not only affect us now, but affect the generations to come. Because what God does in the outpouring is that somehow the moral compass within the society tend to be changed. You go back and look at the great awakenings, the first one and the second one, and you find that there was a change in the moral compass in the society as the Spirit of God was poured out. We're not just talking about a personal thing now. We're talking about something that impacts the community. Because you and I know the only hope for our society is the release of God's presence, the outpouring of His Spirit. Well, He's going to outpour His Spirit upon His church first. And so if we believe from the things happening around naturally, that things are getting a little bit darker, then it's time for me to align myself saying, yes, Lord, I know You're about to move by Your Spirit. I know You're about to pour out Your anointing. And I'm not going to miss it. And I'm not going to sit on the fence. And I'm not going to be amongst those who criticize. This is the last thing I'll say in terms of this message. I'm not going to be amongst those who will criticize, because what I notice, going way back to the time of Christ, that as Jesus moved and set people free, you know what the scribes and Pharisees said? They said, that is of the devil. Haven't you seen it in your scriptures? They said, that's of the devil. You're doing it by Beelzebub. And so I'm going to tell you, friends, as the Spirit of God starts to move, there will be people raised up by the devil who will say, that's of the devil. But if you align yourself with the Spirit of God, you'll know, no, this is of God. I believe we're on the verge of an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I believe we're on the verge of seeing the Spirit of God being released again in this church. And young people and old together functioning and flowing by the Spirit and seeing thousands, millions, in fact, coming into the kingdom. Seeing people who have no hope, who have been told you have to be that way, experiencing change and transformation by the Spirit of God and testifying and giving hope to many others. Let us stand. We're talking about times of refreshing. God has promised times of refreshing in these last days. Are you ready for times of refreshing? Are you longing for times of refreshing? Mary Wenger here believes, and I agree with her, that the outpouring will be an outpouring of healing. Healing, all types of healing. Physical healing, but how many know that people need emotional healing? They need healing of who they really are, their personality. Healing going all the way back to when they were born. Only God can do that type of thing. And He will. Because people are in need. And He needs to show that He's a God of power and of might. I want us to spend a minute or so praying one for another. Praying one for another. One that we'll be prepared for times of refreshing. That we be prepared for times of restoration. That the Spirit of God might help us to press into the Lord, to lean into the Lord. That we won't get distracted by the things all around us. But instead, like the psalmist, we might say, one thing we desire, and that we are going to seek after, which is to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Let's just take a minute or two and pray one for another in twos and in threes. Let's just do that.
Testimony to encourage you. I know it's been a little over a year since I went back to school, and I know I asked for prayer for the students that were there, and there was one who's a friend of mine now, and he grew up in church, and I recently got this text from him, And the reason why I'm thinking of this is because he was off course. He's fascinated by stars and astronomy, and he kind of got off course into astrology. And I started thinking, as you were talking about the sons of Issachar, how they watched the moon and the stars and they knew things. And I thought of the Farmer's Almanac, and I thought of like our generations past planted by the sun and the moon. And so this is the reason why I know this, is yesterday was the second full moon in the month. And in the pagan world, they believe that like that's the time to plant seed. But I repeatedly told Anthony every day, I said, the problem comes when you start worshiping the created instead of the creator. And so Thursday, I got this text from him. I prayed for him all year. He said, I feel a special pull towards hospice work. I can't explain it, but I think that's where I should start aiming. I don't know. I just trust now that the Holy Spirit will lead me down the right path. I have yet to really thank you for being such a beneficial influence on me last year. I wanted to tell you that over the past winter, my relationship with Jesus has been rekindled, and I've been going to church again. So thank you for your testimony and wisdom and sharing the light at school.
And so as you pray one for another, pray also that the loved ones, the prodigals that are related to the people you're praying to, that God would draw them back into the kingdom. That's where they belong. So yes, let's just pray. Spend a moment, a minute or two, and pray one for another.
Kind of piggyback on what pastor's preaching about today, refreshing. Y'all know pretty much what I do for a living. Most of you do. I don't get to see people in a refreshing state. But every day when I get my patrol truck, before I leave my driveway, I pray that I can be refreshing to somebody and I can help somebody. Excuse me. This last pay period was probably one of the worst we've had in law enforcement in this community. We had a total of, I believe it was 8 deaths. I worked 3 of them. One of them I was refreshed on, believe it or not. I got to meet a man who lost his wife after 50 years of marriage. And while we were waiting for the funeral home to show up, he asked me to sit on the porch with him. And he was weeping, and I was trying to be empathetic and sympathetic to him. And I asked him, I said, what kind of woman was she like? And this man's eyes lit up, and he got the biggest smile on his face. Excuse me. And for 45 minutes, he told me what a blessing she was to him and their family, their church, how she believed in the Lord. And it was refreshing to my spirit. And he told me, he said, thank you for being the deputy that was assigned to this call. He said, because you just made me remember my wife. Instead of seeing her laying in there on the floor, passed. And his son came down. They lived next door. The son said the same thing. And you know, I left thanking God that I had the opportunity to do that. So my message to you is, be the light for somebody every day. Make that your prayer. Yes, God's going to pour out refreshing to us. He promises that. And sometimes it's individually. Sometimes it's in multitudes. But be willing to be that refreshing time. And don't overlook the little times that God gives you refreshing.
Amen. You have a song there, Sean.
Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears, come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears, come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation.
Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your promise of restoration. Thank you for your promise of refreshing. Thank you for your promise of, Lord, just restoring what the enemy has taken from us. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that not only will you refresh us individually, but Lord, you have promised to do that corporately. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have equipped us to be carriers of your presence, to be carriers of your refreshing. So Lord, as we leave here, Lord, may we carry with us, Lord, your refreshing, your anointing, your presence. So that as we encounter others, Lord, through the things that we would do and the things that we would say, they too, oh God, might experience refreshing. They too, oh God, might be drawn to the God whom we serve. So Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your promise. And Lord, we believe you, oh God, that you will do more than we could ever ask or think according to your power that's at work amongst us. And so Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.